Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Your first mission is to keep yourself happy.
It's living for self that is so exhausting and frustrating because you were made to live for Him. So when you begin to please Him, you begin to thrive. It's not a burden. It's not a duty. It's a joy. I come alive. This is what I was made for.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome in to Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. Hey, I'm Jimmy Hicks, and we're doing something a little bit different today. Todd's not with us. We're actually going to be listening in to Ray Comfort, who was recently with the crew from Living Waters at Cal State Fullerton, where they engage students in conversations on cultural issues, but more importantly, the gospel.
So, you said you're agnostic?
I am agnostic,
you
yes.
You believe in God?
I do.
And I said, is He angry at you? And what did you say?
I know I am imperfect.
Can you give me some specifics? What are you doing that displeases God?
I don't go to church too regularly.
Well, I don't know if that displeases God like sin.
Yeah, well, that too. I mean,
have you been born again?
No, I haven't,
okay,
actually.
We want you to be born again. We want you to enter God's kingdom. Jesus said this, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the thing that will stop you coming to Christ is your love of sin. The Bible says we hate God without cause. We're enemies of God in our mind through wicked works. It actually says in the book of Romans, our mind is in a state of hostility towards God. Are you hostile towards God?
No.
You're not? Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Not in recent time.
So you have?
Yes.
Why didn't you just say yes?
I like attention.
Not in recent times. Do you love your mom?
Yeah.
Would you ever use her name as a cuss word, a substitute for human excrement? Would you use your mother's name in that context? Please say no.
No.
Good. Because you respect her.
Yeah.
But you don't respect the God that gave you a mother. You have taken His holy name and used it in place of a cuss word. What greater hostility can you have towards anyone than to use their name as a cuss word? So you're at enmity with God in your mind through wicked works. That's what the Bible says. And every time you sin, you're storing up God's wrath that's going to be revealed on the day of judgment. So let's go through those commandments as we did with our friend before and see how you're doing.
Yes.
Are you a good person?
Okay. I like to think so as well.
Okay. This is going to be a little embarrassing for you. Alex, when did you last look at pornography?
I don't remember. I got a girlfriend. I don't remember.
Oh, are you fornicating with your girlfriend?
Guys, oh my gosh.
So you don't need porn because you're fornicating with your girlfriend. And the Bible says fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. I told you it was going to be embarrassing. But think of what's going to happen on the day of judgment. If you're embarrassed in front of human beings, how much more will you be ashamed on the day of judgment? And I don't want that to happen to you. Have you lied and stolen?
I took a gumball from the candy store once when I was nine. Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
it's disappointing.
Yeah. Look, Alex, let me tell you something.
Yes, sir.
It's human nature to trivialize sin. I stole something when I was a little kid from a little store. It was a little piece of candy. That's what we like. And I lied. I told little white lies. Just when it comes to lust, I expect guys to say, yeah, I have lust, but just after little women. Nothing big. We trivialize sin, but Alex, you open my wallet and take $1 out, you're as much a thief as you took if you took $10 out. The value of that which you steal is irrelevant to God. So you've told me you're a liar. Have you stolen? You have stolen.
I did.
And blasphemed? And you're a fornicator and an adulterer at heart. So if God judges you by those Ten Commandments on Judgment Day, you're going to be innocent or guilty?
I'm pretty guilty.
Pretty guilty?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll definitely be guilty. Would you go to heaven or hell?
I've always tried to live truthfully and...
You've always what?
Tried to live like... I live every day like it is my last.
Yeah, not one day you're going to be right.
Yeah. I try and be a good person, everyone, regardless of...
Do you remember the question?
Yeah.
Will you be innocent or guilty on Judgment Day as a lying, thieving, blasphemous, fornicating adulterer at heart?
I'm guilty.
Yeah. Would you go to heaven or hell?
I'd probably go to the HE double hockey sticks.
Now, does that concern you? You might think it's funny, but I don't. I'm horrified.
I'm not.
Just met you, and I love you. I don't want you to go to hell. That breaks my heart. I'm serious. You may not see tears in my eyes, but there are tears in my voice. If you die tonight in your sleep, God will justly damn you in a terrible place called hell. Jesus said, fear not him who has power to kill your body and afterwards do no more, but fear him who has power to kill your body and destroy your soul in hell. Don't let that happen to you. So, does it concern you that you go to hell today if you died?
It does concern me.
Okay, now what did God do for guilty sinners like you and me so we wouldn't have to go to hell?
Yes, he died on the cross for our sins.
Now even the devil knows that. Most of America knows that. But you've got to appropriate what he did. We broke the law, Jesus paid the fine. Like I said to the guy before, if you're in court and someone pays your fine, a judge can legally let you walk free. And God can take death off you because of what Jesus did on the cross. Paying the fine. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So if you repent, turn from sin, trust in Jesus, right now God will wash away your sins and grant you everlasting life as a free gift. All because of his amazing grace. So Alex, when are you going to repent and put your trust in Jesus?
As soon as I can.
Today?
Yes.
Are you sorry for your sins?
I'm sorry.
Are you willing to repent and trust in Jesus?
Yeah. I do have a question, though.
Okay, what's your question?
What is your stance on the queer community?
Get someone who was a homosexual and talk to me, and we'll talk about that.
I'm a bisexual.
Bisexual. What does that mean?
I am attracted to both men and women.
Okay. So what's your question?
What would you say is the Bible's stance on homosexuality?
Yeah, this is what it says in the book of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 through 9, 6 through 9 says this, and it's very relevant how it begins. What's your name?
Val.
Val? Nice to meet you, Val. It says this, do not be deceived. That's how it begins. In other words, you can get into deception unless you understand this. And then it says, neither fornicators, you know what a fornicator is?
Yes.
Okay, neither fornicators nor idolaters. You know what an idolater is?
No.
Someone who makes up a false god. I did it before I was a Christian. I created a god in my own image to suit myself. A nice, cuddly, snuggly god that I cuddled up to and prayed to every night for about 10 years. But it wasn't the God of the Bible. My God had no sense of justice or righteousness, truth. He was part of my imagination, the place of imagery. And that's what we do. We make an image of God that accepts our sins. And it's called idolatry. And the Bible warns idolaters will not inherit the kingdom of God. So it says, do not be deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor adulterers, nor thieves will inherit the kingdom of God. So the Bible is very clear. And Val, if I meet an adulterer, I've got to say to them, I love you. I want you to repent of your adultery and trust alone in Jesus so your sins can be forgiven. If I meet an idolater, I say the same thing because I love him. A fornicator or a homosexual, I love homosexuals and I love them enough to tell them if they want to enter God's kingdom, they've got to turn from everything God considers to be sin. And that was...
But the word homosexuality was not introduced into the English Bible until the 20th century.
That's because it wasn't an English word until about the 7th. Hear that? It wasn't an English word. There was no such word as homosexual right up till about the 17th century. So it's in the scriptures. Those scriptures I quoted to you are 2,000 years old. And the book of Leviticus, about 3,000 years old, says it's an abomination for a man to lie with a man. So the Bible is very, very clear about who will and who won't inherit the kingdom of God.
Well, the Leviticus verse originally meant to be a man not lay with a boy, in meaning for pedophilia and not homosexuality.
So, Val, what's going to happen to you when you die?
I believe in God, and I love the way Jesus did by not discriminating against others for who they love, what they believe in. I don't discriminate against immigrants, against homosexuals, against women who have abortions, against nobody, because I love the way Jesus did. And Jesus Jesus personally washed the feet of the prostitute instead of stoning her along with others in the town.
I think you're getting a little mixed up with those two stories. One was a woman who was caught in the act of adultery, and the law said she should be stoned to death. And they threw her at Jesus' feet and said, what are you going to do? She was caught in the very act. Jesus knelt down and wrote in the sand, and he stood up and he said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone at her. And then he said to the woman, when they left, beginning in the youngest, oldest to the youngest, he said, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, none, Lord. And then, do you remember what he said to her? Go your way and sin no more. Very clear.
Well,
Jesus
does not give the right of us and humans and sinners to judge and discriminate against others while we are also sinners. Homosexuality is an equal sin as lying and adultery. So there's no greater sin. Every sin is equal in the eyes of Jesus. So if you
Belle, I've got to address that, Belle. You brought up a good point. Can I just answer that? That's just not true. If a man rapes a woman and then stabs her to death, that's not the same as lying.
Why did
you go for the help?
Jesus, you could be next.
What's your name? You going to be next?
Sure.
Please.
Jesus says that all eyes, the Bible says that all sins are equals in the eyes of the Lord.
Where does it say that?
It's in the Bible.
It's not. So, do you think you're a good person? Are you going to face that law on Judgment Day and be saved, or are you a sinner?
Well, I am a sinner because I am a human being. I'm not.
So, have you lied and stolen?
I've lied.
Well, the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. I don't want you to end up in hell. I want you to be saved. I want you to put your trust in Jesus. And Val, when you're born again, God will give you a new heart and new desires so you love what God loves and hate what God hates. And God says homosexuality, adultery, fornication, lying and stealing are sins, and God will give you a love of righteousness. He'll open the eyes of your understanding, bring you out of darkness into light so you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So please think about what we talked about, will you?
All right, we'll be back with more from Ray Comfort and the crew at Living Waters coming up next on Wretched Radio. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, can I be honest with you for a second? I see a lot of guys just drifting, just going through the motions, working, hanging out, maybe going to church, but not really sure what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. And here's what's crazy. Nobody's giving you real answers. It's just a bunch of cliches about being a man that don't actually help. But I found something that does help. Dr. Adam Tyson has hosted a Fortis Forum, 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. And it is not what you think. Dr. Tyson does not just tell you to do better. He shows you what the Bible actually says about manhood, real steps you can take, real changes that start in your heart, not just your behavior. That's what we need. Look, if you're tired of drifting and you want some actual direction, this is it. 5 steps that will challenge you to live with real purpose. It's on Fortis Plus. You can watch it whenever you want. Just go check it out right now. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Just download Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps or go to fortisplus.org. Trust me, it's time to stop drifting and time to start living.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Alexandria
was an apologist in the late 2nd century. He ran a school in Alexandria, Egypt, where he instructed new converts and trained Christian apologists. He taught that only Christianity, with its revelation from God in the Bible, has the answers regarding creation, good and evil, and salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we are back on Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio. We've been listening to Ray Comfort and the crew at Living Waters out at Cal State Fullerton at the recent Turning Point USA Speak Your Mind event. And now let's get back out to the campus.
What's your name?
Saul.
Saul?
Yeah.
That's a good Bible name.
No, not Saul or not Paul or whatever. Saul. Saul. S-O-L.
It's what?
S-O-L, Saul.
Saul. Oh, that's a Bible name. Solomon.
Sure. Maybe you can say it's short for Solomon.
You can't get away from it, can you, Saul?
No, I can't. I wish I could, but I can't. America's
Solomon,
enamored with it.
He was the wisest man to ever live outside of Christ. And he said, God has set aside a day in which he will judge the world. He says, fear God. With all the wisdom he had, he said, fear God and keep his commandments. So how are you doing with the fear of God? Do you fear God?
Well, I came here to ask you a question. I'm not really
interested. Okay, well, let's do your question.
All right, sure. So I just want to lay out a pretty logical argument for you. So you think that, like, God is all-powerful, right? Omnipotent, or?
Yes, of course.
Okay, God is omnipotent, and yet he allows a lot of suffering in the world. And you're going to say something like, God, allows suffering in the world because he doesn't want to violate humans' free will. Is that more or less correct?
No, that's way off.
You believe that? That's way off. Can you explain to me what you
say that.
Think about that?
You know, some people reject the Bible because of suffering, or they say God doesn't exist because of suffering. That's like driving a car through an intersection, brakes fail, you run over a whole lot of pedestrians, you see a lot of suffering, and you say, look at the suffering. Nobody made this car.
Yeah,
it's illogical. It doesn't make sense.
Now, but the driver is...
Let me finish what I was saying.
Go ahead.
Because this is very important. We can look at the issue of suffering and say, why does God allow suffering? We don't know why he allows suffering, but we certainly know why there is suffering. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that we live in a fallen creation with disease, pain, suffering, and death. So every time you see a kid with cancer or someone suffer, you can say to yourself, the Bible is right. So don't use suffering as an excuse to reject God or the Bible when the Bible makes it clear why they're suffering. Does that make sense?
No, I don't think it makes sense to me at
what
all.
What part doesn't make sense?
The part that doesn't make sense to me is that an all-powerful creator would create a world, an environment, where the rules are such that if you mess up in some way, that can justify all kinds of suffering in the world. So, abject, horrible suffering, horrible pain, horrible death.
So what sort of things are you doing that you think God would be offended by?
Well, I can say that some things that I could be doing that in your worldview God would think that
tell me
is offended by. I'm not going to assume that God is
what
real.
Are they?
Whatever sin is under the Bible.
Well, be specific.
Whatever. I try not to lie. Humans lie in their day-to-day interactions.
Yeah,
and stuff like
so
that.
You've lied.
Okay, sure, yeah.
So you've broken the ninth commandment. What about the eighth? You shall not steal.
Maybe when I was a kid, I stole something, like
you
a pencil.
You started stealing when you were a little kid? Whoa, have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yeah, sure.
Have you looked at women with lust and committed adultery in your heart?
Probably, yeah.
Have you ever hated someone other than at this present moment?
I don't hate you, but I probably hated people.
The Bible says he who hates his brother is a murderer. So let's just have a quick summation of your court case on Judgment Day. Saul, you've just told me you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterer at heart, and a murderer at heart, and you're pointing at the holy God of heaven that gave you life and saying, God, I want an explanation from you about suffering.
So again, I came up here with a very specific question, and I feel like we're just veering off into the script that you've set up, basically, for all the students that are coming up here.
Well, it's a scripture,
My question is, I'd really like you to square that for me, the idea that there's an all-powerful creator that sets up an environment where the rules are such that suffering exists. If you don't want to violate people's... You're saying that it's people's choices that make them suffer, but if you're an all-powerful creator, why would you create a world where people's choices could lead them to suffer in such a horrible way?
He didn't.
What do you mean he didn't? What do you mean he didn't?
Haven't you read the book?
I've read the Bible.
God created everything. It was very good and perfect. No sin. In came sin, in came death.
If God created an environment where that could happen, he knew it was going to happen. He's omniscient as well.
Yeah.
So he knew that he was always going to introduce horrible, awful suffering into this world for millions and millions of people.
Yes.
So he always knew that was going to happen, and he created an environment where that was going to happen.
So do you really?
And he's all powerful.
Yeah. So you really believe that happened?
I really believe what? Nothing I'm saying is contradictory to.
God created a world full of suffering.
No, I don't believe that. That's
why. What are you complaining about if you don't believe in it?
That's why I reject the idea.
That's like being upset about Cinderella's pumpkin turning into a coach at midnight or something. If it doesn't exist, why are you upset? I'll tell you what's going on. Your conscience is accusing you of sin and you're trying to cover your sins. The Bible says, he that covers the sin shall not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. So I'm not trying to win an argument with you. I'm not trying to get you to believe the Bible. I'm not trying to answer all your questions. Solomon, I'm trying to tell you that you're in terrible danger and you don't realize it. You're like a man in a house, second story, it's a wooden, it's on fire. Flames are coming up and I can see it, but you can't because you're asleep. So I try and awaken you and you say, don't waken me up. I want you to see the flames. And the way for me to do it is to just show you you're not a good person, you're under God's wrath, and if you die in your sins, God will justly damn you to hell. That's what the Bible says. I don't want that to happen to you.
Okay, I don't have any problem with you believing that, but I just want people in, you know, around to really question this and ponder this for themselves. If God is all-powerful, if he created the universe in such a way that horrible suffering can occur, why did he do that? Yeah. And I want to see if, you know, just wrestle with that.
So do you know the mind of God?
I don't know the mind of God,
no,
but it doesn't make sense.
But I have the scriptures that tell me how to find everlasting life. And I plead with your soul. Tonight, you could die in your sleep. And I am deeply concerned for your salvation because you've told me you're a lying thief, a blasphemer, a fornicator, an adulterer at heart, and a murderer at heart. You've got a stack of sins. And the Bible says God's wrath abides upon you. And every time you sin, even in thought or in word, you store up his wrath. It's going to be revealed on the day of judgment. And Saul, if your eyes meet my eyes on the day of judgment and you're still in your sins, I'm free from your blood because I've told you the truth. You need a savior. You need someone who can wash away your sins, make you clean in the sight of a holy God. And if you refuse God's mercy, you're going to reap his judgment. So I want you to think about that. As you lay your head on your pillow tonight, listen to your heartbeat in your ear and think, if that heart stops, I'm into eternity. And God's given you a will to live. Isn't it true something in you says, I don't want to die? Is that true?
Sorry, one more time.
Isn't there something in you that says, I don't want to die?
Yeah, I don't want to die, and I'm scared of it, but I don't let that fear drive me to believe that there's some eternal paradise in which I can escape to.
I'm not saying to do that. I'm saying let that fear open your heart to the gospel, because this is what the Bible says. Jesus Christ has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Past tense. Did you know in the Old Testament God promised he would destroy death? And in the New Testament we're told how he did it? Ever read the Bible?
I've read the Bible.
Yeah. Have you met the author?
Have I met the author? No, I don't think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Repent, trust in Jesus, and you'll know the author. So please think about this.
A lot of authors, mostly human, or maybe all human, and I think they've died a long time ago.
God used man to pen his word to humanity. And his word tells you how to find everlasting life. One other thing. You said you're terrified of dying. Am I correct?
Yeah, I'm scared of dying.
Yeah, scared of dying. You know why?
Because dying is scary.
Yes, because dying is scary, because you're a human being. You're not a beast, a dog, a horse, a cat, or a cow. You're made in the image of God, and God has placed eternity upon your heart.
I think animals are scared of dying, too, when
it's
coming.
Don't get away from what I'm saying. Solomon, whom you're written, named after, said God has placed eternity on the hearts of men. It's Ecclesiastes 3:11. So you're different from the animals and that something in you says, oh, I don't want to die. And in the book of Hebrews says, you are haunted by the fear of death all your lifetime. And that will be a haunting until you either die in your sins or you come to Christ and God releases you from the power of death and the fear of death. So that's what God's offering you today. Everlasting life is a free gift. So set aside your arguments and plead for God to forgive your sins.
The reason that you're not going to convince me is that all your arguments come from a book that's already presupposed on the notion that God exists.
What's your problem with that?
If I were to give you some random book and ask you to believe all the answers in it, I don't think that you would do that. Ability to acquire information from the environment to understand, like, to come to a sense of a world that they can understand.
Are you an atheist?
I'm an atheist.
Well, why don't you tell me? I've got in and out cards for you. I see any atheist that comes up. It should have been up his four in and out cards. Stay there.
Yeah, I love In-N-Out, so thank you very much.
You love In-N-Out. You're going to pick out at In-N-Out. So, you don't believe in God's existence. Is that right?
I think it's more unlikely than likely. At least unlikely. The Christian God, too.
Let me tell you how you can prove God's existence in 30 seconds, scientifically, without the use of faith. Are you open?
Sure.
I see you're smiling.
Sure.
Is that a cynical smile?
I'm open to hearing what you have to say.
Okay.
I think that if it were the case that you could scientifically prove God's existence in 30 seconds, everyone would believe in God, but
okay.
I don't think that everyone else is in
well,
the world.
Let's give it a try.
An atheist is so stupid.
And you can give me a mark, 1 out of 10, when we get to the end of it. That building is proof there was a builder. Am I right?
Sure.
You know there was a builder. Even if the builder died 50 years ago, you know, don't just believe, you know there was a builder, because buildings cannot build themselves.
Okay.
That's scientific. That's knowledge. The word science just means knowledge. Creation is evidence of a creator. You look around, you see the genius of God's creative hand. Everywhere you look, and the Bible says this, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So you know God exists because you know things have been made. Let me tell you what an atheist believes. An atheist believes the scientific impossibility that nothing created everything. Not that there was nothing in the beginning, but an atheist believes that nothing gave us flowers, birds, trees, the sun, the moon, the stars, puppies, kittens, the marvels of the human eye, the miracle of childbirth, the human mind, male and female, all the species came about because nothing was the creative force. That's insane. That's what the Bible says. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. And the reason you can't find God has been said for the same reason a thief can't find a policeman. That's why you can't find God, because of your guilt. God wrote his law upon your heart via your conscience. God's given light to every man. And deep down, Solomon, you know God exists. I'm not trying to convince you he exists, because you know that. I'm trying to say you're in danger. You need to repent and trust the Savior.
Okay, I believe that you're concerned for me and for my soul.
More from Ray Comfort and the crew at Living Waters at the Turning Point USA Speak Your Mind event coming up on Wretched Radio. And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Newly released emails revealed that leading gender doctors at UCSF knew all along their treatments for children were based on what they themselves called weak evidence and consensus among like-minded activists posing as physicians. Translation, they made it up as they went along. And speaking of consequences, the same ideology is now providing violent criminals with get-out-of-jail-free cards. Brett Kavanaugh's would-be assassin just got 8 years instead of 30 requested by prosecutors, with the judge citing his freshly minted transgender identity as a mitigating factor. Over in Washington State, convicted pedophile Christopher Williams, serving time for sexually assaulting a 9-year-old girl, was placed in a women's prison after claiming to be transgender. He's now assaulted multiple female inmates, including one he stalked and beat from behind while she stood at a microwave. And the consequences of weak borders aren't just theoretical. Canada's Liberal government granted a visitor visa to a Pakistani man on the UK sex offender registry for sexually abusing his underage niece. He'd been sentenced to just 6 years but fled to Spain before finishing, then convinced Canadian officials he was fleeing honor crimes. He's now fighting deportation while conservative MPs ask why the immigration minister who let him in was promoted to justice minister. Meanwhile, the Trump administration is taking border security seriously. The Treasury just sanctioned 8 Mexican individuals and 12 companies supplying fentanyl precursor chemicals to cartels. Over 500,000 Americans have died from fentanyl poisoning, and the Treasury Secretary made clear the administration intends to completely eliminate drug cartels. The FDA approved a second-generation abortion pill from Avita Solutions, a company whose stated mission is to normalize abortion. Some spiritual clarity emerged from Pittsburgh, where a bishop told the Catholic Identity Conference that Catholics must worship Christ alone, not modern idols like political correctness, Mother Earth, or LGBT ideology. His remarks came after Pope Leo blessed a block of ice at a Vatican climate conference, and thousands of LGBT Catholics processed carrying rainbow flags. And speaking of flags, Philadelphia recently raised the Chinese Communist flag over Independence Hall to, quote, honor diversity, because apparently nothing says freedom like flying the banner of history's deadliest totalitarian regime in the same place our nation was born. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider. Don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. God told Hosea the prophet to marry a prostitute to illustrate Israel's unfaithfulness to God and God's faithful love for Israel. When Hosea's wife returned to prostitution and was enslaved, he bought her back and loved her. When you are mistreated and abandoned, remember that is how you treated God. But if you turn to God, he will forgive you.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we're back here on Witness Wednesday at Wretched Radio. Been doing something a little bit different today. No Todd. We're actually listening in to Ray Comfort, Easy Zwane, Mark Spence, and Oscar Navarro. The crew from Living Waters recently on the campus of Cal State Fullerton at the Turning Point USA Speak Your Mind event.
What's your name?
Alex.
Alex. Nice to meet you, Alex.
Thank you. Nice to meet you as well. I wanted to go back to the homosexuality topic we were talking about earlier because I know you mentioned that it is a sin in the Bible and that if you want to be a homosexual and then convert to Christianity and kind of veer away from that, I know you mentioned that a little bit. I just wanted to ask how is that possible? Because your sexuality isn't a switch that you can turn on and off. I'm queer myself. I know tons of people in my life who are queer, who are Christian, and they're still Christian despite their sexuality. They still have faith despite their sexuality. And even though they believe, are they still not allowed in heaven just because of who they love?
No, you figure this for yourself. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves will inherit God's kingdom. That's what the Bible says. Now, homosexuals say, I was born like it, I can't help it. Okay, I'm going to confess something here. Right from when I was a little kid, I would have liked to have committed adultery. I was born like it. It was a sinful desire in my heart. And I needed to be born again, so I didn't have sinful desires. I had desires that were pleasing to God. And it's the same with homosexuals. They're born like it because they've got a sinful nature. They choose that path of sin. After that Bible verse, it says, and such were some of you. So a Christian is someone who's turned from all sin, lying, stealing, fornication, blasphemy, homosexuality, adultery, all those things. You turn from them, and God enables you to turn from them by giving you a new heart with new desires. Does that make sense? Well, thank you very much. What's your name?
I'm James.
James. How can I help you, James?
This whole week, everyone's just talking about, Charlie Kirk and his dad and stuff. Some of them celebrate his death. Some of them, mourn for his death. But I just want to ask, but what about the murderer? No one's talking about him. So I just want to ask, can the murderer of Charlie Kirk go to heaven?
If he repents and trusts in Jesus, he can.
Yeah.
But it should still be put to death according to the law. Okay, so Romans 13, you a Christian?
Yes.
Your little dove on your t-shirt gave me a clue. Okay, next person. Thank you, man.
Hello.
Are you a Christian?
No.
Okay, great. Nice to meet you. What's
your name? Is that all right?
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Cool.
Remember your name?
Paris.
Paris, okay.
So about homosexuality, so are you saying that it is a sin or is it not?
Did you hear what I said?
Well, I tried to, but it was kind of boring, so could you repeat it?
Thank you for your honesty, Paris. Let me
You're
repeat
welcome.
It. The Bible says, do not be deceived.
Right.
Neither fornicators nor idolaters,
mm-hmm.
nor thieves, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites will inherit the kingdom of God. So it's very clear. It may not be a sin in the eyes of man, but it's a sin in the eyes of God.
Sin in the eyes of God. So what about people who are not Christians? Will they still go to hell if they're
if they
homosexual?
Die in their sins, and that's why we're here. We're here to tell you that the gift of God is eternal life. You know, I hope there's some Muslims here. I hope there's some Hindus and Buddhists, because Christianity is good news for the whole of humanity.
Yeah.
All those great religions are man striving to make it to heaven by their own religious works. And God is a judge. He'll not be bribed. You cannot bribe God to forgive your sins by your religious works. So God made a way for the whole of humanity to find everlasting life. So the gospel is good news for Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, atheists, agnostics. Whosoever will may come, because the gift of God is eternal life. It's as simple as that. Now, I see your hand is on your hip. The body language is there. What are you trying to say?
It seems as though you're using sin as, and Christianity as a whole against things that you don't think are right personally, such as homosexuality. You can't really... I mean, I grew up in a religious family, but using Christianity as a weapon...
What sort of religious family?
Christian.
Christian?
Yes.
Your parents Christians?
Yes.
Well, they're praying for you and you're here because of their
They
prayers.
Are praying for me. They yeah. do go to church. They are very Christian, although they don't use their Christianity nor their religion as a weapon or to condemn other people and how they choose to live their life.
I don't know any Christians that do.
It seems as though you do, because you're saying it's a sin, although...
That's not a weapon. I've got to tell the truth.
I'm a Christian, so I speak the truth. And
you
I
speak
say
for
what
truth.
The Bible says.
That's good. That's good that you speak for truth.
Let me give you a quick scenario, okay?
Okay.
Let's say you're a doctor, and you've got before you a patient who's got cancer, but he looks well. He goes to the gym every day. But you're a doctor, and you know he's dying because you've seen x-rays. You can see on the x-rays poison seeping through his system. He's got 2 weeks to live.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a cure in your pocket. Do you give him the cure or show him the x-rays?
What's your point here?
I'd like to know what you would do. You're the doctor. You've got x-rays of him dying. You've got a cure in your pocket. Do you give him the cure for his disease or show him the x-ray?
This hypothetical doesn't make sense.
I'll tell you, I'll be the doctor then, okay?
The x-ray. Yeah, you be the doctor. You obviously know.
A doctor who knows what he's doing will not give a patient a cure who's not convinced of the disease. So if the doctor knows what he's doing, he's going to say, see these x-rays, see this poison seeping through your system. When the patient begins to sweat and see the seriousness of his condition, he will say, "Well, doc, I can see what's going on. My life's in danger. What should I do?" Now he's ready for the cure. Now he'll appreciate it and he'll appropriate it. And what I'm trying to do today, Paris, is show you the x-rays, that you're a sinner in God's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to die. After death, the judgment.
Yes.
Yes.
We're all going to die.
Yeah. Do you know why we die according to the Bible?
Why?
The Bible says the wages of sin is death.
The wages of sin?
Yes.
What are sins?
Very famous Bible verse. Let me tell you what
it means. What are the sins that I'm dying?
Let me tell you what it means.
Okay.
We'll go back to what the sins are in a minute. The wages of sin is death. It's saying God is paying you in death for your sins. Like a judge who looks at a criminal that's committed murder, but he thinks lightly of murder. The judge says, "I'm going to show you how serious your crime is. I'm giving you the death sentence. This is your wages. This is what you deserve. This is what you've earned." And Paris, sin is so serious to a holy God, he's given you the death sentence. You're on death row. You're in a holding cell. Let me finish because this is good. You're in a holding cell with a nice blue roof, good air conditioning, good lighting, but this life is a holding cell, and your death will be evidence to you that God is deadly serious about sin. For next person.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
My name is Christian.
Are you a Christian?
No. I have a question. In regards to immigration, would you say Jesus is against or with immigrants?
He's against the violation of the law. You should not break the law. So he's against, obviously, illegal immigration.
Right.
Thank you, man.
Wait, hold on. Well, what about the verse that says that, like, love your neighbor as you love yourself?
Yeah, he's the neighbor. He's in Mexico. You love him as yourself. He's a neighbor. He's not in your country. You love everybody.
He loves everybody.
I love you, Christian.
Yeah, I love you too.
Oh, thank you.
So you agree with what I said.
So if you've got any other questions.
No, I just wanted to ask you that.
Yeah. What's your name?
Adam.
Adam?
Adam,
Oh, boy. We've got Solomon, we've got Christian, we've got Adam.
I was going to say, are you pro-life?
Yes, of course.
Okay, are you pro-Palestinian?
I don't know what you mean.
Like, want to stop the genocide with innocent kids that are dying?
Let me put it this way. I'm not here to talk about politics. I'm here to talk about the gospel. That's why I've been invited here.
Okay, well.
So listen, where are you going when you die, Adam?
What was that?
Where are you going when you die?
Hopefully heaven.
Hopefully, so you're not sure?
Who knows? Only God knows.
Could you end up in hell?
Probably, who knows?
So God knows. So
God is all-knowing, all-merciful.
So
I don't know.
What are you doing to make it to heaven?
I pray 5 times a day.
Why is it 5? Shouldn't it be more? This is your eternal salvation.
No, you do 5 to get... it's discipline.
It's discipline. What else are you doing to get to heaven?
Be respectful to other people.
What happens if you're not respectful?
Then it doesn't look good on you.
No,
then God judges you.
Do you think lusting after women is respectable?
It's not. That's why you try to lower your gaze.
It's not lowering your gaze. You don't even look. That's what Islam says. Lower your gaze. No. Jesus said if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. And you consider Jesus to be a prophet. He cannot lie.
Right.
So that puts you in big trouble on Judgment Day because you've committed adultery in your heart, whether you lower your gaze or not. What about lying and stealing?
It does. No. You're absolutely right. But it's what you do after.
What do you do after?
Yeah, so now you have, now that you understood it, now you have to try harder to lower your gaze or try to avoid what you were just saying.
Okay, do you believe God is a judge?
He's the all-knowing and all-merciful, so yeah.
Ultimate judge, okay?
Yes.
And you have to stand before him on Judgment Day.
Right.
And you violated the law of Moses, is that correct?
The
law of Moses, the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, okay.
So you've lied and stolen in your life?
I have.
So you're a lying thief. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Maybe I have.
Yeah, well, that's blasphemy.
And I stopped.
It doesn't mean anything if you stop. It's like to a saying to a judge, I robbed a bank, but I stopped.
But you think, okay, you're telling me if you sin, you're just done?
Yes.
It's done for you?
The soul that sins shall die, and you cannot wash away your own sins.
But really, in the Quran, it says he's all-knowing, all-merciful. What does mercy mean?
I'm not sure what all mercy means, but the Bible says...
Merciful.
God, let me give you a perspective on that. The Bible says God is holy and just, and he by no means clear the guilty. And all the amount of religious works on your own part cannot wash away your sins. It's like trying to bribe a judge in a court of law. And the Bible says, Adam, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to God. So don't try and earn everlasting life by your religious works. Jesus came and suffered and died on the cross so you wouldn't have to go to hell. He took the punishment for our sins, rose again on the third day, defeated death, and if you'll simply repent, turn from those sins and trust in Jesus, not your religious works, God promises, this is the God of creation, promises he'll grant you everlasting life as a free gift, not because you're good or you're religious, but because he's good and kind and rich in mercy. Adam, this is great news for you.
Yeah, okay.
And don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with more of the crew from Living Waters on the campus of Cal State Fullerton, next on Wretched Radio. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something? Without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it. If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy. But they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Kratz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you grab the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first, because your couch just got promoted.
Revelation. How can anyone know God unless he reveals himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. We can know God, and we can be brought into right standing with him.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we are back here on Witness Wednesday at Wretched Radio. Today, we've been listening to Ray Comfort, EZ Zwane, Mark Spence, and Oscar Navarro at Turning Point USA's Speak Your Mind event that took place recently on the campus of Cal State Fullerton.
So what's your name?
My name's Jake.
Jake?
Yes.
Jake, nice to meet you, Jake.
Likewise.
What's your question?
I've got some scriptural questions.
So you're not a Christian, but you've got scriptural questions?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Okay.
Just because I'm not a Christian doesn't mean I don't believe in the gospel. Earlier, when the prostitute was brought up, and Jesus said, sin no more, do you think that she never again committed a sin?
Don't think so.
Okay, so then what was the meaning of that passage?
See, a Christian is someone who perpetually, do you know what that means?
Yeah.
Perpetually turns from sin. If you get up in the morning and say, today I sin, that's called sinning after the flesh. And you need to check yourself and see if you're playing the hypocrite, if you're genuinely saved. Because once you're saved, you'll want to turn from sin with all your heart. Not only because of what it is, an abomination in God's eyes, but because of what it does. Sin and death a hand in hand. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sins it shall die. Lust brings forth sin. Sin that's conceived brings forth death. So when you embrace sin, you embrace death. So it's very unwise to do that. That's why God wants you to turn from sin and trust alone in Jesus. What's stopping you coming to Christ today?
Nothing. I mean, I'm fully...
Have you sinned against God?
Sure.
You've violated those commandments?
Sure.
Where will you go if you died today?
I don't know. I mean, it's a wide world out there.
You'd end up in hell. You've got God's promise on it.
This is hell. This is the top floor of hell.
This is Southern California, too.
This is the top floor.
This is not hell. Look at the sky. Why do you think so many people are here with a governor like we've got? It's the weather.
That brings me to my other question. What is the meaning of render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's? What does that mean to you?
Pay your taxes when that's you.
Pay your taxes.
Yeah,
do you think...
And obey the government as long as it doesn't violate God's law.
So did John the Baptist render unto Caesar? Did he pay taxes?
I don't know.
He did not.
How do you know he didn't pay taxes?
He separated... He went into the wilderness. He went into the wilderness. He separated himself from society. He sold all of his possessions, as Jesus said was required.
Sold all his possessions?
I think we could.
You're getting your stories mixed up, Jake. So do you ever read the Bible?
All the time.
You do? Can I give you a book called Scientific Facts in the Bible? Would you be interested?
I'm not really interested in science, to be honest. Science does not remove the terror of the gods.
Say that again.
Science does not remove the terror of the gods.
Okay, thank you for that. So, are you a Christian?
I'm Catholic.
Okay, have you been born again?
I'm sorry?
Have you been born again?
I have.
You have? What does that mean?
I have. Specifically for what my parents told me it meant, I grew up mainly Catholic because of my family. I was baptized
as a baby,
but I was rebaptized actually last month.
As an adult?
Yes.
Okay. Did you put your trust in Jesus alone and not your church?
I did.
Okay, that's wonderful.
Thank you. How are you today?
Good.
Good. Okay.
So are we done?
No, I had a question for you.
Okay.
I just wanted to get that out of the way first. As a Christian, do you believe that you love thy neighbor?
Yes.
You do. So as a Hispanic in the community, I have been told slurs. I have heard others been told slurs by people who claim to be Christian and to love thy neighbor. But where do you draw the line at
What's
love thy
name?
Neighbor? Maria?
Maria, Hitler claimed to be a Christian. Did you know that? A lot of people claim to be Christians. There's a lot of hypocrisy. Read your Bible and tell you what a Christian is. Someone who loves. If they haven't got love, they're not a Christian. The Bible makes that clear. Okay?
If I was an immigrant and I came here illegally, regardless, would you still love me?
Of course.
Do you think all Christians should still love anybody else regardless?
Yes, we'll love you and wave to you as you go back to your country. Hello, what's your name?
My name's Sophia. Nice to meet you.
Sophia.
Sophia, yes.
Okay, Sophia.
You were saying something earlier with Charlie Kirk's the person who murdered him. Did you say that he deserved to die?
Oh, yes.
Do you believe
people... If he's guilty, yeah, absolutely.
If he's guilty. What about all the people who, with stuff you don't believe, with abortion, do you believe they deserve to die? Or anyone who's homosexual?
Well, anyone who kills a baby, yeah, they should give up their life. The Bible says that's very clear.
But
if you take a life, you give your life.
Yes.
And that shows the value of human life.
Why are you telling people, why are humans telling each other that they should die? It's God's decision. Not yours. You shouldn't be the one to kill those people. You're not the decider. God's
That's
the
true.
Decider.
That's true.
So why are you telling everybody around them? No matter, it's their choice at the end of the day. God literally put us down on this earth and said, you decide if you choose me or don't choose me.
Sophia, the Bible makes it very clear in Romans 13 that the law or the authority puts it this way, bears not the sword in vain. There's such a thing as justice, and justice demands that if you take someone's life, you give your life. We have so many murders in this country because there's no fear of God. There's no obeying of God's word. So if you love God, you'll do what he says.
So do you believe anyone who has, like, who's done big sins like adultery, murder, and all that, do you think that we should create the justice for them?
No.
But you just said that you would kill the murderers.
No, I would not kill murderers.
No, you said that it's okay to kill
a murderer. I'm saying
it
is lawful for a country to take the life of a murderer.
But you said that we
should
kill him.
Okay.
But what did you say then about the murder of Charlie Kirk? What do you think his punishment should be then?
He should be put to death if he's guilty.
So you think us as a human race should put him to death because he murdered Charlie Kirk?
Of course. Now, do you believe in abortion?
I believe in the freedom of choice.
It's for okay to kill a baby in the womb.
Yes.
Okay.
Because there's some instances.
So you believe in the taking of a life, a human life.
There are some instances where it's like, why would you expect someone who is a rape victim to have a kid?
Why would you say it's wrong to kill a murderer and you advocate murder of children in the womb?
I never said that. I said you said it.
You said it's okay to kill
babies
in the womb.
I never said it. I said, why are you saying it's okay? Don't twist my words.
Well, you said it's okay
to kill
babies. Let me ask you a question. Here's a question.
You're twisting my words.
I'm not going to twist your
words.
You
are.
Okay, we'll move on from me twisting your words. Answer me this question. Do you believe it's a baby in the womb?
I do believe it's a life. And in my personal experience, yes, I do think it's a baby.
So here's the question.
It's not a fully developed baby, but yes, it would eventually turn into a full baby, a fetus.
It's okay to kill a baby in the womb. When? What's the justification?
If some grown man decides to rape a baby, a 10-year-old, a 10-year-old can have a period. That means she is able to reproduce. Why would you force that on a 10-year-old who just suffered a massive trauma?
Good question.
Why would you
kill the innocent baby for the crime of the father?
The crime of the father won't even pay for the kid.
You didn't even hear the question,
so,
did you? Listen, I cannot reason with you because you think it's okay to kill babies.
Okay, me personally, I would keep the child if I had a kid.
Well, good for you.
But I don't think you should decide for everyone else just because they don't follow your same ideologies.
I'm not putting people to death or
you
deciding
are.
For everybody else.
You are, and it's an awful way of thinking.
Okay.
You should let people to have the freedom of choice.
So,
God gave us the freedom of choice.
We're going to change the subject, if you're willing.
Yes.
What's going to happen to you on Judgment Day? Are you a good
That
person?
Depends on God, not me.
Okay,
my decisions, if I am kind and treat others the way I want to be treated, then it's his decision, no one else's.
Okay, let's see if you're doing that. Can you be honest with me?
Yes.
Have you lied and stolen?
Everyone has lied.
Not talking about everyone, we're talking about
yes,
you.
Yes, everyone has sinned.
So you're
I'm a
lying
sinner.
Thief. So
no, I'm not a lying thief.
You just said you've lied and stolen.
I've lied. Yeah. I haven't stolen.
Oh, you said you've lied and stolen.
I haven't stolen.
Have you used God's name in vain?
No, I haven't.
OMG?
I try not to.
Oh, you try not to.
I fix myself. Everyone sins, and it's how we do it after, how
so
we try and fix and change ourselves.
Let me share the gospel with you and get your thoughts.
I can share something part of the gospel too then.
Okay, share it with me.
If you're saying it's okay to murder people that have been, like you think it's their punishment, what about the parable of Jesus when he was outside and people were throwing stones at that woman who committed adultery? He said, throw a stone if you've never sinned. No one can throw a stone because everyone besides Jesus have sinned. So why should we force punishments on other people when we are sinners ourselves?
That's a good question. Now, Jesus could forgive that woman because he is on the way to the cross to take the punishment for her sins.
Yeah.
And for the sin of the whole world. And unless you repent of your sins and trust in Jesus, you're going to perish. You're going to end up in hell.
I agree.
I don't want that to happen to you. I care about you. And I want you to think about your eternal salvation. Don't let these peripheral issues discourage you or direct you away from that cross.
Okay,
in the cross, God provided a way for you to have everlasting life. It's the gift of God. Think about what God is offering you.
Okay, but with the parable, why is it that he said not to throw stones? So why should we kill those who think don't follow the Bible?
I'm not throwing stones.
You said you'd be okay with the punishment of murder, like to hurt the person.
Of course.
That's the equivalent to throwing the stone.
So we're going to have to agree to disagree.
I tell you what, if you've learned nothing else from listening to Ray Comfort engage these students today, one thing is how quickly he moves from their question into their conscience. It's pretty amazing and remarkable to listen to the man work. He knows he's there for one reason and one reason only. That is to present the gospel to as many people as possible. And he has done that today. And we're nowhere near finished. We've only gotten through just a portion of this event. We'll listen to more from the Living Waters crew on the campus of Cal State Fullerton next week here on Witness Wednesday. But until tomorrow, go serve your King.